This is CliffCentral.com.
There's no rules here. They kind of go, do you want, which mic do you want on, like, pros? We have no idea. It's Friday the 31st of August. As the last final day of Women's Day, we've actually got a very special show.
We're all in touch with our feminine side. My feminine side is at home.
What are you planning for the last day of Women's Day, Ryan?
I was going to live it like I usually live it, just as a man.
Heck, I forgot that. I should have done something. Because also, it's the last 24 hours of Women's Month. Just go and just do a thing, man.
Just be like,
just respect and love and just do beautiful things.
Tonight I am going to a quiz night that supports the all-female roller derby team. So,
Can we all come to that?
Yeah, go for it.
Are you doing comedy?
Yeah.
I better now count.
It's kind of what I do for a living.
I've got to count your microphones backwards. Talk, Vic.
1, 2, 3.
Okay, that sounds good. I don't even know which one you're on.
You just moved a knob.
Are you talking?
There
you are. Okay, cool. And then Richelieu.
Hello, I'm Richelieu Bonnois, and I'm live on 5. Mike 5.
You know what's weird? If you do listen to that show in the mornings,
it got a person what talks like this, which is actually a guy.
And the people can't get enough of that shit.
And he like tortures cats.
What?
Who?
Yeah, that guy that sounds like that.
Who the hell is... Ben. What is... What show is this that I need to go find someone to kill?
5FM morning show. We're just sending you out there, Vic. Yeah. He doesn't really, but we feel that if we just start a rumor...
This is basically why we...
There's a tiny Mariki person that speaks in a really high voice, and people think it's fucking hilarious.
That shit's been around since the 90s.
Quick poll. How do you feel about phone pranks? Richly.
Doing them or just...
Just listening to them. You're driving there and they go, we phoned this guy and we told him he was a caterpillar.
But it kind of annoys me because generally it's in the morning and like you're driving or something and it's too long.
But as a comedian, you can see the thing. How does the guy not know?
When they keep phoning back, that irritates me the worst because now it's like...
The joke didn't work the first
put time. The phone down and picked, and the guy's like, please stop phoning me. And then they keep on phoning.
Yeah. Who in the modern world is going to carry on picking up the phone?
Yeah.
But the thing is, we live in an age where you've got this app, Truecaller, that tells you where the call is coming from. Now, if at that point you don't look at your phone and say, oh, it's coming from this radio station, then at that point, just go freaking balls to the wall.
But if you've got a landline.
That's the thing, because they've got these things on radio, they do these prank phone calls, and I just had enough of the...
Yeah.
I saw through it a long time ago when Wreck-It Simpson did it.
You know what I do like, though? On Michael McIntyre does this thing called Send to All, where he takes your phone and...
In the audience.
Yeah, but generally gets a celebrity. Like he had like the chef, or he gets like an actor or a sportsman, and then he'll send a text to all your contacts. But he'll base it on you. So if you're a chef, then you'll be like, okay, Jamie Oliver, he said like, yo, I'm on my way to McDonald's and I'm just gonna get the cheeseburger. Please don't tell anybody. That type of thing.
And got replies.
And he smashes it to everyone, and then at the end of the show, he reads all the replies back. Oh. I like that.
That's cool. So that's at least what I prefer in prank phone calls is don't worry about the person answering. Like we did a prank phone call thing, and the guy said, do you want to do them? I said, no, I hate them. Yeah. But I'll do them like this, where the joke isn't on that guy. I feel sorry for the person and also for cringe a bit.
Yeah, but I used to do prank calls when just like in my...
In your capacity.
When you're a teenager, then you're unattended. They leave you with a phone. This is before Twitter and the internet.
Exactly.
So swing away.
Sorry, I'm phoning from the water department. So you need to go check if your water's running. And then the person comes. And they come back. I'm like, okay, it is running. I'm like, can you run after it? bye.
Yeah. Is your fridge running? You better go catch it.
We used to have a phone at home, and then it was the first phone. Because I'm also from, we were talking about small towns.
When you say small phone, the one that you used to turn the dial.
The one that you turn the dial. So we were the first people to have the phone. Oh, yeah, the one where you spoke to the person who connected you. That was an old phone. Well, I suppose the first one was Alexander Graham Bell's one.
Well, that thing where you phone through
tin
to an exchange.
Cans with a string.
I believe.
Wait, did you have those in Bloom?
No, in Velcom, I remember growing up, and there was the Tumblr phones. The rotary phones.
Yeah.
Then when we got the push button, that was just, that's witchcraft.
That's when you learned how to like,
wow.
Did you ever have a neighbor that came across to your house and then there was a jar next to the phone and they'd put money in to phone, like she would phone her boyfriend.
So whatever. What is yours? Permanent rate?
It was weird because we she'd sit there on the phone like this, and then as soon as she crossed her leg like this, then you knew
that's
she's
five
not
rand.
Leaving.
That's a 5 rand call.
No, you say, no, you put down.
Why you are
No, you put down the phone. No,
and then, like, and then 50 cents in the jar. And I'm like sitting there, I'm like,
that's an 8 rand call.
Because I would obviously take a commission,
yes.
a tuck shop.
Yes.
But my mom also said, if Marika comes across here, please watch her on the phone because she does write down the times, but she's the phone bill's a little bit high.
Mm.
Yeah.
In those days, you didn't get your billing.
It was Do you remember?
Itemized billing, no.
Okay, is your mic on?
I think so, but you guys are talking about phones of 1980s.
Oh, it's getting personal now, is it?
When did South Sudan get a telephone system?
As soon as the Americans arrived.
Talking to the mic there.
South Sudan, I would say 2011, because South Sudan was created in 2011.
Was created?
Yeah.
Equal.
Yeah. First
we got
country.
It in 2011.
So you had a country that was created, like on a whiteboard. They just wrote down what they wanted.
Yeah, just go. Cut the map like, okay, you guys take that side.
We're going to start again.
We're going to start again.
I wish PE or East London could do that.
Well, we declare ourselves the Republic of PE. All the really dumb people will now stay here. PE is otherwise. It's welcome by the sea. It really is.
South Sudan, pull it, there you go. Talk into the there we go.
Yeah.
So you are AK.
Yeah, AK.
Just A and a K.
A and a K, but fully a cow.
Easy now.
Yeah.
We have David Cow here.
No, the
is Cow.
A Cow.
A
K A U.
There you go. So
yeah.
That's
but we also have
name.
Cow.
Does it mean something? I mean, not in a non-African way. I'm not asking if your name means, because Victoria means victorious.
Victor, he who wins.
Actually,
Victoria won the buffet.
Yeah. Hey, stop the clock. It's the first fat joke of the day. 9 minutes in. Well done, Dave. You've beaten your new record.
Okay, I'm gonna phone Jason Goliath now and start.
So your name? Sorry, did your name means?
Yeah, my name means like watch my back.
Watch my back. Oh, that's brilliant for South
cow
Sudan.
Is my back.
Is there a North Sudan? Or is it just
North Sudan? The fucked up area.
So it's Sudan.
Actually,
call
it's the opposite. Sudan. And then South Sudan.
So they're not called North Sudan. They're just
they're not called
they're
North
kept
Sudan.
It's not like North and South Korea. There's not a wall.
Yeah, yeah.
So I could walk from South Sudan and just everyone was high.
Like
you can just walk through. Or is there a border
post to Sudan? Yeah. You can just go through
the gate fence.
Yeah, look, I can understand why you guys
say
did
hi.
The split. I mean,
it was a war there, bro.
Jeez. But there's still that tension within. There's like,
oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to phone someone. I know this has nothing to do with our show, but there's a show called The Big Five Comedy.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I just want to phone Kurt because
there's another voice note.
Port Elizabeth.
Are you phoning
this
Kurt?
This is a real...
Kurt.
Do you know Kurt?
Squinder.
Does he owe you money?
Yeah. Yes, no, yes, yes.
Okay, does he owe you money?
Nah, we're good.
Okay. Well, he won't answer. You know that he doesn't answer. Ryan, does Kurt know who you are?
Levinson.
Kurt Skinrod, welcome to the Just Now Comedy Podcast.
Man, thank you very much for having me on the Comedy Podcast.
Just Now.
Just Now Comedy Podcast.
Okay, with me in the right studio, now. I have Big John. Do you know Big John?
Long John.
Kills during winter.
I know Long John, yeah. Okay. Big John, I'm not so... Big John's in Peter Pan. No.
Little John's
Robin Hood.
So Long John's here. We have Big Victorio.
How's it, Kurt?
Mr. Leonardo, are you good, mate? Good, mate.
Well in yourself, sir.
I have a cow in the studio.
Yeah.
Not an actual cow.
An actual cow.
No, his name is a cow.
There's a cow. He's from South Sudan. Ryan Holiday's here, and then Richly Benoit is also here.
What's
hey,
up, Kurt?
What's happening here, bro? We should catch a drink sometime.
We are.
That's it. I'm going for the very obvious Richly.
No, it's not a colored thing. That at 9:30 in the morning, you guys are going for a drink. Where are you on your way to, Kurt?
I'm on my way to PE for my sins, my good man.
What are you going to do there?
Yeah, we're doing a Big Five show there. That's a big show, man, at the Nelson Mandela University over there. Okay. They got a big auditorium there and like a 2,000-seater type of deal. And we're going to go knock some baloney there, bro. It's going
to
be lekker.
I like the fact that PE, if you want to get to the Nelson Mandela University, you go down Nelson Mandela Road, turn left at Mandela Crescent,
past
the Nelson Mandela Shopping Center, and then it's at the Nelson Mandela corner of Nelson Mandela
true.
And
yeah,
Nelson Mandela Drive.
All right.
That's right, but do you turn left or right, my friend?
Ooh, see now there.
He was a moderate once he became a diplomat.
Tell us the lineup.
Yeah, sorry, let's interview you.
Oh, man, it's a killer lineup. It's Nick Rabinowitz, Jason Goliath, Stuart Taylor, Tumi Meraki, and yours truly is Kommel Deluxe Numero Uno Kurt Schoenrock.
So it's actually the big four, really.
It's the big four plus Stuart, yeah.
But you guys were doing some marketing. How was the other? Did you do the other ones? I suppose they marketed to different markets, and you are doing the PE one because you're very big in PE.
Oh, bro. Oh, I was also big in Japan in the '80s, but now I'm big in PE. If that's at all possible. Yes, I'm. Well, a rumor has it that in my mind I'm fucking big in the world.
But are you looking forward to it? How much time do you each get?
Of course, man. I get 20 minutes in front of 2,000 people. That's like one of those big squabbles, you know. You're going to remember that one for a while.
And also, you know what's nice about those ones? The guys that come for comedy. There's not like a band of two. There's a thing. They're into it. From the word you go, welcome everyone, they're in.
Mm. Now, Stuart Taylor also took a very coloured approach to this, you know, because he's got a bit of a party happening out in the parking lot, so there'll be a lot of car bar going on, car I think, bar. You know what I mean? Car bar, and by the time the Owens get inside, you know, we are funny,
and tickets are sold, and things are happening, and when are you flying? You're flying now, you're in Cape Town.
I'm flying at about 11 o'clock, so I can't talk to you, anchors, for too long.
Well, none of us are, well, one of us.
I think he's Ryan's making a massive assumption about the masturbatory abilities of this room.
Comedians on a podcast, I'm sorry, that's the epitome of wanking in the circle. Come on.
Vittorio brought an ex-professional wrestler with him. So
an ex-professional wrestler?
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know what, you never really stop wrestling, do you? With life.
No, listen.
That's deep.
I tell you what, if you've got if you and your missus have a healthy sex life, there should never, ever be a stop to the wrestling thing.
Speaking about sex life, how have you enjoyed Women's Month?
Okay.
That is the weirdest segue I've ever heard you do.
Women's. The only thing I read in the newspaper, bro, or in the news, is how cuck we are at Women's Month.
It's
just cocking it up.
So we get it better like next time. We get it right next year.
We've been saying that for a long time, bro.
Okay, good. But it's the last day of Women's Month, and I realized we should have had more women on the podcast, but we did have, I think this year, we've had the podcast with the most female comics and the most women on it, so we do get a prize.
Hold on 1 second. Last Thursday night, we had four women on the lineup.
Excellent. Four. Who were they? But let's just tell people who you are. This is Kurt Schoenrock, the owner, manager, doorman, head waiter of the Cape Town Comedy Club.
And he also performs there.
And sometimes he performs. Who's that bouncer? Where's he from?
Bruno is, he's Congolese.
Oh, you don't know him, okay?
I don't know.
You guys don't know each other.
But for those of you who don't know Bruno, Bruno is very good, big guy, very nice. Open the door for you. Yeah, hello, boss. How are you doing? Very good. He's fantastic.
Until you talk during the show.
Until you talk during the show, then Bruno. Now you must understand, Bruno doesn't have to say much. He's like 7 foot, right? And what he does is he'll just lean over you like this, and he'll cut out the light from the left side of the room. And it's amazing. It's like, bro, it's like an eclipse, but the man did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't even need to shake his hand to go, nah, my bro, I don't stand a chance.
But now
where do you want me?
Kurt, I feel you doing some of your material for tonight. So. Yes.
Funny. How could I possibly know what we were talking about?
We should just stole some of that. He's doing it tonight.
I'm busy writing it down right now.
Yeah, I was in this club the other night. Vic's actually left now. Let's talk about comedians. So you got doing Big Five. So there's five comedians. Nick Rabinowitz, Tumi Meraki. That's an amazing show. Tonight, Vittorio Leonardi's doing comedy at a roller derby.
No, not even comedy. They're having a quiz night as a fundraiser. And so,
so they're not actually roller derbying.
Well, no. They do that later.
Oh, true. Don't destroy that for me, Vic. I was picturing you on roller skates.
I want Vic on those old school ones with the four wheels.
Let's face it, if I was going to do roller derby...
With the glitter and a little wing on the side.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow. She's the Nike...
And I don't mean a Chinese guy. I mean an actual wing.
Subtle as always. No, I think the only way you'd get me to do it is if I would actually had to strap two skateboards to my feet, because that's enough ground coverage that I might not fall really hard.
And you know, Vic's used to strapping things.
Well, you would know, Dave.
We have slept together.
Vic, aren't you getting married soon, bro?
No, I am married. I've been married, tomorrow is 3 weeks.
You got married?
Yes!
Oh, cool! Man, congrats, bro! I thought thought you were going to get married soon. What? Congrats, bro.
Cue the... did you not get your invitation? Why were you not
Clearly
there?
Not.
You know
clearly
what's nice
not.
Is Vic did the best thing you can do. Don't invite a fucking comedian to your wedding.
No, but that was the thing, though. We
so
wanted, we had
that
wedding.
Was your wife's idea.
We had a lot of friends that we wanted to invite, and then both of us have large families, and not as many people as we thought were going to say no.
They said yes.
And they showed up, and like,
man,
ah,
people
shit.
People love weddings, man.
No, bro.
Free food,
I'll tell you what, this is why you can't invite comedians to your wedding. They're going to come up to you and go, Vic, sorry, my bro, do you reckon I can have five?
Yeah. Just do a tight five. Just
Kurt,
tight
we don't want
five.
You to miss a plan. I think we can support the Big Five comedy because it actually helps.
Oh, yeah.
It helps every comedian know that that's where you want to be. You want to be on that show one day.
I'm already in the weight class.
You want to be invited
class,
onto that show, bro.
Hey?
No,
it's lucky to be invited along to play in that group. They're a lovely bunch of peeps. And let's be honest, the best part of the show is backstage because that's where the real comedy happens.
Well,
anyway,
then why don't you record it for us and then play it for us at our next podcast next Friday?
You know,
on the eve of the Comics Choice Awards.
Yes.
But you know how it is, my bro, that whatever goes on backstage stays backstage. There will be no recording then.
What happens in PE stays in PE.
Except,
now, see, we might just recorded it.
Listen, remember what you said to me. What happens in Richards Bay stays in Richards Bay. And then we got to the airport, and that waitress was in the boot.
And then we told her she must stay in Richards Bay. Remember, I told her that.
Well, you have to get a takeaway somehow.
For the whole can of Pears Promise.
No, bro. I will never forget that trip, eh?
You know what people think I'm joking?
No, bro. There was two gooses in the boot of the car going, take us with you.
We love Dave. Anyway, Vic, I'll tell you about that later.
No, let me tell him about one little part of that now before I quit. This is very important. We had a hell of a party after one of the shows over there, and a couple had pulled into Dave, bro. Not
okay.
A couple, including a husband. A couple, bro.
So you know
Dave
who warned me? I was quite
cool.
I thought it was a fan. So I thought they were fans. And then Stuart pulled me aside. He said, Dave, this couple want to take you home, and we're never going to see you again. So pull out now.
You were looking at the goose, and the guy was looking at you, bro.
Oh, wow.
That's what I was worried about. I wasn't worried about the goose. The guy was looking at you going, oh, yeah, I think we got one on the hook.
Dave,
Vic was straight if I went or if I said no.
as someone who has actually shared a bedroom with you, I want to know.
Dave got home at 11 o'clock the following morning, you might... learn to know that, and he had loads of fun, and him and the husband are still keeping in touch by WhatsApp.
Let me show you my tattoo.
Frank,
jeez,
Kurt, I love your comedy club, and just keep working, man. Just work.
Yeah, man. Bro, yeah. I love your podcast. Keep working, do it, guys. Thanks for having me.
That was Kurt Stewart. He's never ever listened to a single fucking episode. So here's the thing. Okay,
yes.
I saw you at. The box.
The box, yeah.
How did you get to South Africa? What are you doing here? Why? I'm not immigration. I want to just know, is this where the comedy vibe is? Is this part of what
I
you want to do?
I must say.
Joburg.
Actually, because I must say, South Africa is the best country in Africa when it comes to comedy. That's the truth.
Cool.
South Africa, if I was to rank, I would say South Africa first, then I would say Nigeria. And then I would say Uganda. Then Kenya.
You played in every single one of those locations?
I haven't played in Nigeria, but I've played in Uganda, I've played in Kenya, Rwanda, and then South Africa.
Who's your
There's
favorite
no South African comedians can say that.
They are.
But they played in all those countries.
Yeah.
Really?
Dumiso Lindi?
Really?
Dumiso has been to Uganda and
Tunisia,
Kenya.
He moves around.
Yeah.
So who's your favorite South African comic?
Trevor. Trevor, because
the Trevor, or
Trevor
Gumbi.
Not the Gumbi, the Noah.
Oh,
the Noah.
Do you mean the Gumbi or
Trevor
the
Gumbi
Noah?
The Noah.
So he inspired you. I mean, and then you decided, come to Joburg. Have you been to Cape Town?
I've not been to Cape Town already, but I'm looking forward.
We'll get there. Was the owner of the Cape Town Comedy Club? We'll get you
that's
on.
Really nice.
Yeah,
he said he listens to the podcast. My ass. He's sending you a comedian.
He's never heard of this.
And where was your first show in Joburg? Had you done others before? Saw you at the box.
Yeah, I've done a lot. My first show was at Kitchener's.
Okay.
And then after Kitchener's, I went for Shaker's.
Okay.
And then Parker's on Thursday.
It was nice. Yeah, really. It was nice together.
Excellent.
Yes. Yeah. Then the Goliath, nope. 2 days, then the box. So, I've been like...
Can anyone else hear...
Hardy Dawes. Yeah, I was wondering about that. Is that a sound file you're playing in the background, dude?
Is that how you get off, bro?
That's crazy.
sits at home and listens to Hardy does.
That one, the best one of those weird things where you do that challenge on the beach.
Oh, yeah?
With the guy who went, I'm here in the garden. There's no fucking Hardy does. It's for heaven on earth. And then a Hardy dog comes. No, I don't know Hardy dog. I've got to do a live read very soon about a movie that's coming out, and I thought it'd be quite good to do it. So we've got to tell the people.
When you say live read, are you going to do the movie voice?
No, you're not allowed to. You actually just have to read it. Yeah. Do you want to do it, Vic? Because you do this for a living. But you have to be quite serious, because I think that the movie company do actually pay.
Yes, they do. Okay, now off
so
you go.
We often take the first and do a thing. So we're going to announce it. Okay. We won't do music. But I think, Vic, you got the best voice for this. And we can we just, before we announce this, just is anyone missing Eric?
I'm missing Eric. Does he work here? I had no idea.
Well, Eric, you managed to get us yourself and long, long, tall, handsome John.
John, you're going to have such a long name by the end of this show.
John, Vic, you're going to have to swap chairs with John after you've done your live read, after we've paid our bills.
No worries.
Okay, go.
Sex, murder, puppets. The Happy Time Murders is a crime comedy film featuring the comedic geniuses Melissa McCarthy, Maya Rudolph, Elizabeth Banks, and Joel McHale. When the puppet cast of an 80s children's TV show begins to get murdered one by one, a disgraced LAPD detective turned private eye puppet takes on the case. It's a hilarious whodunit that is decidedly no Sesame All Street. The Happy Time Murders releases in South African cinemas on the 31st of August.
It's your first voiceover, Vic.
Yes.
That was good. That
tonight on E!
You've ever seen the trailer for that? I thought it was a piss tech trailer. Have you seen it, Robert?
Yeah.
It looks like the trailer was made just for that. And then I watched it and I thought, no one would do that many names in a movie and go to that amount of... But it's an incredible trailer. Yeah. For the movie. So you're going to swap Little John, Tall John, Big John, Small John, all in the studio. Little John, Tall
John.
John.
No.
So you are? John. What is your real name?
Just I told you last time. I told Again, you last
never heard of it.
Time.
Never heard of it.
Never
listened. Because when I tell you my name, you start making fun of me. Okay, no. my Zimbabwean name is Lenmore.
Okay.
Lenmore.
That's right.
Lenmore. That is corporate.
That was the name of the
hell.
Podcast episode. We actually called it that.
What?
We called it Learn More because that's what people do on this thing.
Learn. It's Learn More.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Land More.
Oh, he has to make it sound like
a
name.
A cool name.
He has to make it sound like a real name. But it's Lenmore. Go and learn.
Dude, Lenmore is corporate as hell.
That's
corporate.
There is Hardy Dawes in the area. So I have four at home. Possibly my Hardy Dawes.
What are your Hardy Dawes' name? So, Hardy. Long John.
Yes.
Welcome. Are you living in Joburg now?
Yeah, I'm mostly in Joburg, but just traveling a lot, yeah.
And do you know AK? Because you guys arrived.
Actually, I met him in Uganda when I was in Uganda.
You guys are traveling too much.
Yeah.
Can I please come with you?
No.
No.
Carry on luggage is very limited.
Can you sit in a bus for a week?
A week.
Then you can travel with us.
Do I win something afterwards?
Use of your legs.
Is it a raffle? Is it one of those things where you have to sit in a car for 2 weeks and you win the car? Do I win the bus?
No. You just arrive where you're going.
Okay, what I loved about your comedy is your timing was impeccable. There was a point where the audience sort of leaned back and went, why is he not speaking? And it was because you were totally in charge and you had them fucking dead quiet.
Was this at the
it
box?
It was a weird night, man. Were you there?
No, was it? I'm just inquiring.
Yeah, it was at the box.
Yeah. How did you feel about that gig? The stuff?
It was amazing. It was amazing. You know, one of the things that I've learned about comedy is you need to control the people. If you want them to laugh, you need to own them. And win them over in the first maybe.
This is why white
seconds.
Comics aren't doing well, because you can't own shit.
You can't own it. You do own it, you just have to give some of it back.
Yes. Well,
you know, comedy is about giving back.
Yeah. So you just need to give them a reason why they should listen to you in the first 30 seconds. Yes. If you do that, the rest of the show will be great.
So what's your reason? What was your reason? Do you have a different reason every time, or do you check out the crowd?
Yeah.
How was Parker's?
Parker's was great. It was great. Yeah.
Okay.
When did you play it? Last night? Or?
Yeah, last night and the other week.
Okay, cool, man.
Because the thing with comedy is that everyone wants to listen to your story. Okay? So it's how special your story is. That's what makes a difference.
Yeah, they bring their story, to listen to your story.
But everyone wants to listen to it. If your story is shit, they're not going to listen to it. So just make them interested in your story. When I come up and I'm like, okay, I was born in a refugee camp.
Everyone wants to know about a refugee camp because they've never seen a refugee that has made it that far. So you've warned them. You've warned them over.
You're the first one.
We've seen you on CNN.
All right. Okay. That's good. Looking for help, right?
Yeah.
Then I wasn't looking for help.
So that they never show a refugee doing well, ever.
That is your story. Where does the comedy come out of that? Because that's amazing that you found comedy in a life that
That's an amazing angle. I was also, my mind was blown last night when I saw you, because I was like, there's comedy anywhere, bro.
Yeah.
No one must ever tell you there isn't.
Yeah.
Who's the funny person that took you under their wing and said, find the happiness, find the positive in this shit vibe?
He's a Ugandan comedian called Timothy Nyanzi. I think he was here last year.
That's
the guy that taught me everything. Like my first 5 minutes.
Face to face or on CDs and tapes? And
face to face.
Really?
We used to meet every Tuesday because he conducts a Tuesday, a weekly rehearsal. Every Tuesday, a lot of guys come through. And then we do our rehearsals. You make your 5 minutes. Then you come back again when the 5 minutes work. Do another one until you grow, and then you can come back and start helping others come through. So that's the guy that was like, okay, now this is, you need to accept who you are, and then you need to bring the funny part out of it. So that's
how old were you? I mean, we're talking refugee camp. Obviously, there's Sudanese civil war. There was a. So how old were you when you first go to refugee camp?
I was born there.
Because that's part of your joke, was like, even in the worst of times.
Yeah, in the worst of times, they could make gigs.
Times are tough, let's fuck.
It is the one thing they can never really take away from the poor.
From anybody.
But now, hang on, so you have, you've been in South Africa how long now?
I think 8 days or 9 days.
Is there anything that you would then take back to, if you're back in South Sudan, you're doing a comedy club there, have you got ideas? Like, in South Africa, what have you picked up from here?
A lot of ideas, but the thing is, you can't implement these ideas when the country is not at peace.
Yeah, you need support.
Because right now, like, the whole nation is like, we're signing this peace agreement, and then they disagree. Then tomorrow they sign another one. Yeah. So there's tension.
I've got open spots next week, Wednesday.
It doesn't work. We can't be signing a peace agreement, and people refuse to sign it. Then you're like, okay, I have a gig. You need to chill, man.
Chill out.
Yeah, you need to chill out. But there's a lot of ideas in mind that I could implement with some time, because I want to have a comedy club.
And your growth as a comedian, can you sense it? You're like, shit, I just actually went to another level.
Like what?
You went another level up. Like, I could see on Sunday, there were a lot of younger comedians watching you, and just something was reminding them about their timing. Don't rush your 5 minute set.
Yeah.
Take your time.
Yeah.
You don't have to do your full repertoire in the 5 minutes.
Every joke. Do two bits. Because that's the thing. Like,
you know what? He said hello, and then he breathed, and then he said hello. And then he made reference to the fact, because everyone was looking at this guy, and he said, yes, I am very tall. And he ignored the fact that he's a very, 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 very funny comedian.
All right.
Let's see what you did there.
I thought you were going to say dark. Very, very, very dark comedian. Great.
But also, dark comedy is also that rough comedy where you go into that side of your dark past.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So you are also a very dark comedian, because some of the stuff was deep. As soon as you mention refugee camp, people kind of get uncomfortable. Like, oh, what's
are we allowed to laugh at this?
Is there a collection plate?
It's like mentioning Adam. I mentioned Adam at Parker's, and everyone was like, oh.
That's actually one thing that I've noticed today.
Adam. And they all sat back, and I was like, he's not here, you can fucking relax.
Where is he?
Yeah. So I just went on about who's in the WhatsApp group that sent the message out.
I'm like, you're also,
because everybody's upset. There's one happy person in all of this that's like, yeah, you bastard. It's probably a woman. But there's one person that was like, because you know what happens in WhatsApp groups? People get added. So it'll be me and you. We both racist, and we cool with it, and then we all cool racist.
We've got our racism on our net.
And then someone adds their girlfriend or their cricket buddy. Then you don't know.
You're not in the joke.
Yeah. Oh. Then we've been doing racist memes, maybe.
But we've been racist about a body part or like an elbow.
But I'm always sending racist memes or just saying racist things, like just slipping it under the every now and again. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, no, I'm going full fucking. I'm doing the video. I'm sending it to everyone. They're going to love this shit. And then there's one person in the group like, oh, fuck. I'm sharing this shit. How do you save it on your phone?
What he did there was meant to be a 5 minute open mic, and he did the full 20.
I think it's like, how do I
saw, Ryan, we saw that on Monday.
Where were you on Monday?
Monday we were at Parker's at the last Monday of every month. Joe does this thing where everybody who wants to do an open mic at Parker's, Joe will audition that current batch and literally see which ones can actually
and he's
do
there.
He's there. I'm there.
We grade
the acts.
It actually happens, man. I love watching
it. No, I was in there.
Dude, it's coming up. It's not even good.
I know.
Okay. The 19 acts that were on, Ryan was one of the three that actually knew what they were doing. And then there were 16 who went the full 7 minutes.
Ryan, come back to the
and
mic.
It was almost always death. jeez.
Vic, you taking the couch. I want audience. Ryan back. He's got to tell us about his
Ryan,
his
come through.
His minutes. Do you think, Ryan, as a being on the podcast, have you learned some stuff that you could really say that's why it was different?
He's learned how to keep quiet.
Yeah, no, I've learned a lot. I definitely have. I've changed like my whole approach to this comedy thing.
So how long have you been doing comedy, AK?
2 years.
K-A. A cow.
How
many years?
2 years. 2 years. 2 years.
So you?
Year and a half-ish, right.
So then you guys are in the same...
Yeah. I wouldn't except say he sounds funny. I haven't watched him yet. But just hearing how you praising him, he sounds a lot funnier.
You've never praised him.
I don't understand. He's really good. You got 6 months.
A lot's got to happen in that 6 months.
Yeah,
where do you live? Benoni?
Yeah.
Move out of Benoni.
There's the first step.
I'm trying to get out of it.
Have you heard of a place called Brixton?
No.
Okay, it's in the west here. Go live there for 6 months. Come back with some scars.
Some stories. Some more stories.
Some life experience.
But then again, I wouldn't say, is that a thing for a comic to have the scars?
Robbie got stabbed in the face last week. Yeah, bro. Yeah,
by what?
Indeed.
By a person that was robbing him.
Oh, not in the audience.
No.
Oh, that was an audience. I'm like, whoa. I've been wanting to do that for a long time.
You want to stab the audience.
You want to stab the audience.
Now I'll get your name right. That's Long John saying that.
Long John.
No,
wait.
Long John killed at the box.
I killed it, three people. Yeah, so Robbie's got a scar on his face now. You got you.
Yeah. I also have emotional scars, but I'll take physical scars.
Physical scars. But it's comedy. Because you know, people don't watch a rich. Do you know any people that were like, I was born rich?
Yeah.
Everybody starts a comedy like, we were so broke.
Yeah.
Or I was robbed.
Yeah, every comedian was born broke.
I won the lotto last week and I bought a
Ferrari. Tatsun Konzo comes on stage. She goes, listen, I'm on TV. I'm better than you guys.
But that's now. that's a conduit. Like, you couldn't say that to get into comedy. They'd be like, fuck this dick. Get out of here, bro. And that's how So you when you grow your strength, because you have, I feel like you become more confident. And then the more people that see you, they understand what you're about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
once they've seen you on TV and you're doing well, you can't go back to those days. Like, I remember growing up, I was like this.
Yeah.
Because they're like, no. We just saw your live special. 6,000 mm-hmm. people came and watched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. But you can remember growing up.
I remember growing up.
I put those memories aside.
No, you can't.
No, growing up in the refugee camp in Springs. well, it was just Springs. Called Springs. I don't know who my dad was. It wasn't important.
Yeah. So
but now, Ryan, tell us a proper. Give us two things that you know from last year. You walked on Monday because already Victoria said you were different. Something at Parker's made everyone go, okay, this guy's getting it now. And the other guys that were on weren't getting their time, weren't acknowledging the audience, weren't doing whatever it was. What do you think from now till then?
The biggest thing is to calm down the crudeness or the brashness of the material.
He does dog rape.
And not come... I mean, it's technically not dog rape, but let's not argue about the raping of the dogs. To just try and win the...
After us now, it's the sex show.
So yeah, so we'll talk about that.
You can stay.
Their guest is actually from the SPCA.
No, it's about going up there and...
Got a muzzle on.
Okay.
We digress.
No, about getting them on your side first and just not talking
so
about
such... So let's
put
that as a thing. For a new comic, how do you get... So you can say get the audience on your side.
Yeah.
Honesty. Because if you don't actually rape dogs, then I'm not going to believe you.
Yeah.
You've got to have some honesty.
Yeah.
You're honest about it. Guys, this is what I did.
Yeah.
So you say... You've figured an honesty out.
Yeah.
You do the things. Yeah. I'm Ryan. I do this.
And the crowd is always with you, right? Like, when they first interact with you, when you first walk on the stage. Because some dudes have, like, this unfounded confidence where you can, like, stand there for 2 minutes and not say anything.
Yeah.
Like, they'll laugh.
Yeah.
Right? Because to be like, I don't know, just looking around or whatever, they'll laugh. And then you start talking, but then you're not funny. Then they're like, ah, fuck this guy. and then they leave you. Yeah. And then you just do. Now you just stay for 7 more minutes just talking to people.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to build on what you did in the first, I think, yeah, 20 exactly. seconds.
Yeah.
Keep the pace.
Yeah.
The pace
but up. You can't have an unfounded confidence. Then it loses you too.
Yeah.
So it's a very difficult, not difficult, but I mean, it's a fine.
And did you choose it? Did you choose a 5 minutes that you knew was 5 minutes? Did you breathe in between? Find the jokes.
I actually, four the first jokes. Bit was all new.
Okay.
So, but yes, slow down and like you said, not rush through things because exactly. like rushing.
Have you ever
through
done your set out loud, Vic? Have you done a set in the car on the way to the gig with your voice actually coming out your mouth, not in your mind? A lot of us do our sets in our mind.
I used to do my whole set before. I used to practice my entire set when I
first started
comedy, the entire thing. Oh, I would time it from end to end, do the whole thing.
That's quite dedicated.
Decide where I need to talk louder.
I really find it hard for myself.
Do your friends find you funny?
My friends, they now find me funny. You know, the thing with comedy is you can have funny jokes, but you're not yet funny as a person. You can go on stage, tell jokes, and they're funny, but the funny bone comes in you with time. So right now, they now find me funny.
I think Ryan's breathing.
Breathing like that.
You know what we had?
I was looking at like, wait, who's breathing?
You know what we had? We had Martin Davis on the show.
You just heard us.
And also, when I listened to the podcast later, I could hear, and Martin's, he's 61, so he just breathes heavily. So when I was talking to someone else, all you heard was... No, he's dying.
Someone is dying.
He's just wheezing. And then you ask me a question. Like, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Have you done anything crazy, Long John, this last few weeks?
Like what? Like
skydive, zipline, baked a cake.
Black people don't know.
No, I swim.
No, we don't know.
I went swimming.
Shock white people.
Hello. I went swimming.
Black people don't know like that.
You know what? We used to have a thing. Don't swim until spring day.
Yeah.
Which is tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I see we've all dressed up, well, Vic's in black.
I have my floral shirt.
You have your floral shirt on. Ryan's in plaid. If you listen to the podcast, go through the photographs on the website and just spot when Ryan isn't wearing a plaid
shirt.
Yeah,
it's about twice. Maybe twice. Is it? Maybe okay. twice.
Have you done anything crazy these last few weeks? You say you went swimming or are you talking shit?
I was like, I went swimming.
Where?
Yeah, it was in Durban.
In the sea?
No.
Okay, wait.
You went all the way to Durban to swim in a pool, actually. No, I actually didn't swim. I just my legs were there. Yeah, I was just my legs were there. I was like, this is swimming.
Because
this is what
because
they
you're Long John. Yeah. I'm just saying, you can stand in the deep end. Yeah. And you still only got your toes in.
Actually, I do that. I don't know how to swim, so I just get
don't
in.
Don't you know how to swim?
Yeah, and then I just walk. So I'm walking in there.
That's
and
not
pretend like I'm
that's
swimming.
Not cool. How old are you now?
Why are you talking about this?
We're going to have to... I want to do this. Because you're riding a bicycle.
Why are we talking about this?
Some people
can't... Riding a bicycle...
My friend can't
swimming.
Ride a bicycle.
I cannot swim, guys. Why do I have to swim?
But swimming is like riding a bicycle, bro.
There's a big difference.
There's a huge difference. There's huge water difference. Involved.
Okay, like, is there a swimming culture in Sudan? South Sudan?
Actually...
Okay. I want to know. I'm National Geographic.
Okay.
Let's first... Where is the swimming culture?
I don't know.
Durban has a swimming
Durban's culture. Got good swimmers.
Yeah.
But then you guys couldn't swim last week because the shark net maintaining people...
They drowned.
Sharks will know. That's before. They went on strike first because they weren't... There wasn't a
so
negotiating 10
The guys
cents.
That do the shark board nets. Maintenance couldn't swim.
Drowned.
Yeah. What? They drown.
That is maybe not a job on your CV.
Yeah.
But
possibly
I'm just saying there is an opening.
They take you and they want people who can't swim, but it's weird. Like, they went to fix the nets.
I just realized this is the most people that have ever listened to our podcast.
outside.
The Sharks board people went on strike. Then they said, okay, you can have your jobs back. Went back on the job and drowned.
And drowned, yeah. And sure. They had a problem with their boats. And then, yeah, Jeepers. One went missing. They couldn't find him.
Why would you even? Victoria can't breathe. One of the things I would put on the job description, hi guys, I like you. I think you are fantastic for this job.
Yeah.
Can you swim? We just want to know.
Yeah, but you should guys be like,
yeah, I'll learn. I'll learn on the job.
But I wouldn't.
I mean, truly, that's page one, point number one.
Are you scared of sharks?
No.
Are you scared of sharks?
Tick.
Tick. But I think there shouldn't just be, the music's too loud, bro. There shouldn't just be
your
swimmers. There should be, like, professional swimmers, you know what I mean?
No, you really got to know your shit. Yeah. And also learn how to swim a little bit faster than a shark.
Yeah, and out in the ocean, floats, learn how to float. Because you don't have to really swim.
You're taking the net and then...
But doesn't it disturb you that this guy gave them back their jobs and they drowned? I don't know.
But they were striking on the land.
The comedians went on strike. Remember, they wouldn't do Kurt's Club.
Yeah.
I heard about that.
They got their jobs back.
They're all standing outside.
And no one died on stage?
No, they did.
They all right.
So there's something with the bosses. Yeah. Something with the bosses.
More permanent. Some of the comedians are like, we want a 15-minute interview. It's like, where do you even work here?
Never play this club. What?
So you want to increase from your open mic fee, which is naught.
100% increase. There you go.
200. 200. I'll give you 200.
One parking. You don't even drive, dude. What are you talking about?
I swam here. My name's Long John. I walked here.
I want parking.
He's gonna park myself.
You should make that. You should make it. Learn to swim, bro. It's actually enjoyable.
it's an enjoyable activity. That's the key. Is like swimming is initially is not drowning. That's the first time you swim. It's not called swimming.
Yeah. You try.
Then you get
drown,
something called sunbathing.
No one in my family knows how to swim. Everybody in my family, they don't know how to swim.
That's not cool because it is a life-saving thing. You need to be able to swim. So I think we need to get you a swimming pool.
I can't swim too. I don't know how to swim because I've never imagined the situation where I would need to swim. I've never imagined it. I don't know.
You're not always going to be a comedian. Maybe you go work for the shark sport.
Because I stay away from water.
Okay, so the thing is, because people have these things called beach holidays, or you go to a hotel.
I don't go to the beach. Why would I go to the beach, I'll stay at the hotel.
Only guy in this room who doesn't need a tan.
we don't go to the beach to tan, we go to swim.
I go to the beach with a hat on, with sunglasses, with sunblock, and I just look at people. So now, we're going to read this just quick intro there.
Alright.
We messed it up the first time, we did very well, Vic. It's now, live read idols. Go, Rick.
Happy Time Murders. 6 Murder Puppets. The Happy Time Murders is a crime comedy film featuring the comedic geniuses Melissa McCarthy, Maya Rudolph, Elizabeth Banks, and Joel McHale. When the puppet cast of an 80s children's TV show begins to get murdered one by one, a disgraced LAPD detective turned private eye puppet takes on the case. It's a hilarious whodunit that is decidedly no Sesame or Street. The Happy Time Murders releases in South African cinemas on the 31st of August, 2018.
Can you read it as if it, to make me want to go see the movie?
I don't want to see it anymore.
You don't.
Just say, if suddenly you saw me in the streets and I say, hey, Rick, how are you doing? You say, I saw this cool movie. What was the movie about, Rick? What was the movie about? Did you see it?
Yeah, there were puppets and people started dying. Yeah. And I like it when people die, especially when it's puppets.
I need to write down the time we read that. You got your hoodie in your hand there like you're leaving.
Ah, no.
He's about to leave.
We just keep our things closed. We don't know what will happen.
that's
how we roll in South Sudan. Keep your property
closed.
It's
the legacy of your refugee days. Exactly. You know, keep your hoodie closed.
But you know what? That's a psychological thing because when you meet someone, you often don't know what they've been through. So it would be, wherever you go, you've got all your shit with you because you've had to move. Yeah. And you're like, what do we need? I'll take my hoodie, my phone.
Exactly.
And whatever, some shoes, and I'm out of here. Thanks, bye.
Exactly. That's how I roll.
We raise money for a refugee camp in, I won't say where, in case it causes trouble. An East and West vibe going there, and they don't like each other. But the one thing they needed was soccer boots. It was kind of weird. You always think money, food, things. And the kids were playing soccer, and the guy said, please, can you just get soccer boots? We send them over there. These guys are playing soccer in Havaianas.
And flip-flops.
It wasn't.
It must be the noisiest. It's also like constantly
you're always
applause.
That guy. If you do have shoes, everyone has to be equal. You know, you play shirts on, shirts off.
Yeah, yeah.
So what they would do there is play shoes on, shoes off for that game, and then halftime you swap shoes. You don't want to swap stanky.
Well, so you don't want to get your foot
jam.
Stepped on.
So what they ended up doing was any shoes you had ended up being the goalposts.
Okay.
So you all be barefoot. So the guy that's got shoes, he's like, they're goalposts. So it was just a mess. But we raised some money. We raised shoes.
Cool.
We had a bucket for shoes.
But I mean, that's the thing, though. Once you have food, water, and shelter sorted, then it's little things that start making people feel more like human beings and less like cattle.
Yeah. Actually, our demands grow
a
with
cow.
Time. Oh, all right. That's good. You played it well. hands up. That was great. But the thing is, our demands grow with time. You know, like what we needed back in 1999 or 1998 is different from what we need right now. Like right now, we even have choices as refugees. I see refugees like asking for human rights. I'm like, what? We never had human rights.
luxury.
When I was a refugee. Like,
if they're asking for soccer boots, I'm like, we didn't even have a ball back in the days. You just rolled something up and you're good to go. Okay. So demands change. They all change.
So that's interesting, because it's life, and you grow and you learn. And
yeah.
But I mean, those things are hectic. I mean, also the Kofi Annan. We were going to talk about things that happen in the news.
Yeah.
Then I read a newspaper report, and the guy was like, "No, the oak was not a lacquer oak. There was genocide that he let go. There was UN things, and yet he has like a sort of respect among people with
the Nobel Prize because he played the game.
But they don't realize he was one guy. You're dealing with a million things of bureaucracy. Even if there was genocide, he can't go, let's go there tomorrow. And they're like, no, we can't because it's sensitive and there's Muslim.
The thing is also, it's the UN. The UN and NATO are different in that NATO is like the UN's militant brother. The UN the is a parent.
I wouldn't arrive
going,
in a militant zone.
That.
I don't arrive in a military zone with a white helmet on.
Yeah, that's just saying. Please don't shoot.
Who should we shoot? That guy. I am here to give you some medicine. Even your joke when the guys were dropping. What is it?
I was dropping sacks of food, man.
What did the guy die of?
Yeah, some guys. You know, they used to be aeroplanes passing, and then they would drop like the sacks, and then we go and pick up the sacks. So sometimes, like the sacks would fall on people and kill some people.
Oh dear.
Yeah,
what do you put on the certificate?
What's that?
Died of food.
Chris, what do you think about that? It says, how the hell are we humanitarians? We're dropping 50 pound sacks on 40 pound people.
No, but he's, they can't pick it up. And also, the other thing is, it had this flood in Mozambique, and they're also dropping maize and wheat. But if you know, if you were ever really poor, you could make a very bad glue with flour and water.
Yeah.
So what? Thanks, Rick.
Yes, man.
My project, I made a castle out of polystyrene with flour and water because it was the night before, last minute vibes, improvise. That wasn't first time. And I made a castle out of polystyrene with flour and water. And then I handed it in, and then the teacher was going to mark them the next day. And rats ate my project.
Oh, the classic rats ate my project.
Because obviously the flour and water was tasty for them. Yeah. So then, because you got a good mark, she said, the castle looks so real, the way you've
withered it.
Someone ate that fucking thing. Not me. But also flour and water in the flooded area would have just turned into like a really bad glue. That you just sort of eat.
You're pretty much
cemented.
But
this is quite depressing now. In the news.
Mm-hmm.
What has been in the news, Ryan?
I don't know, pass. I haven't read the news. Pass, next.
Should I tell you? There's a court case happening where they want to find out if we were, in fact, underneath a state capture environment umbrella.
No, we were.
We weren't.
There's not even a question. Of course we were.
It's alleged.
Alleged is another word for we're guilty. We just haven't found the evidence yet. Yeah.
But explain it. Okay, I'll get Vic, because I like Vic's...
Vic seems Vic's work. More work angry. On this. Yeah.
More work and Robert, how well do you know Vic? Give him the mic there. How well do you know him?
Can I just say that with 10 minutes to spare, thanks for having me today.
You better make this 10 minutes fucking good.
I've known Vic for a very long time. We went to school together.
In South Africa?
Yeah.
And then you lived?
I lived here. I was born in Yorkshire, England, and came over here when I was 5, did all my school and everything here in Velcom.
You turned out okay.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I went back to Northern Ireland about 15 years ago and came down for his wedding and decided to stay for a couple of months.
Oh, so you got invited to the wedding. People from not even from... I've slept with Vic. I wasn't allowed to the wedding, unless you have as well.
Okay, here you go.
Well, that was
an awkward pause.
But go back. Tell us about you're an ex-pro wrestler in England, Ireland?
In Northern Ireland, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there a scene?
There wasn't really as big a scene as what there is now. There's a couple of companies over there now. But I was part of one of the companies that really built it up.
I would say in terms of starting comedy, starting something like wrestling is also you go through the same vibe. There are guys starting out and there are pros that have learned stuff. So you'd have a guy really fucking around and like, guy, what are you doing in this? Do you have that as well? Were you?
Yeah, we were actually talking about that last night at the gig. Whenever with wrestling, a lot of people will show up on day one and they'll go, "Oh look, I've got my character and I know what I'm going to wear and this is going to be my finishing move and this is what's going to be my theme song." And it's like, "Oh really? That's wonderful. You've got about 6 months of training first of all in order to get to that point." All right. But and then on day one, they show you how to fall. That's and it. You learn how to fall on the floor, not in the ring, and you have to do that for 4 hours. That's your first day of training.
Wow! Yeah.
If you come back,
Ricky's out.
If you come back the next week, then maybe there's a chance for
it. But I would love what you just said there. Replace it fall with die. Replace pro comedian with pro wrestler with comedian, and replace open mic with stage instead of mat.
Yeah,
like go and do what you said. Yeah. That guy that's got those what do you call them? It'd be a workshop.
Yeah, yeah.
Find your 5 minutes where the comedians are all helping each other, and I'm sure there's community as well.
Yeah, completely. If you put in the work, if you want to get into something like that, then you know, yeah, you'll get.
So
you'll
I'm not
get
saying,
a spot
and we never want to say that the wrestling pro wrestling arena is the same as comedy, but there are similarities. I think DJs do it as well. Like you'll find a guy that's got discs at home and he wants to be a DJ, mm-hmm. but you've got to understand the crowd. You know that you can even improvise a scene and go, guys, whatever we decided to do, let's change it because there's a good vibe in the audience. Let's do that thing we spoke about.
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes, well, it's no secret that wrestling is obviously choreographed. Yeah. But the moves that we do are absolutely 100% real.
But I wouldn't want you to improvise a move on me that we haven't practiced.
No. But sometimes, when you're fighting against somebody who's got no experience, then you'll write the whole match out beforehand. You'll actually script a match so that you know exactly what it's going to do. I once fought against the.
So when they do that shit, where they run and hit the rope and then.
Yeah. Absolutely, 100%.
He's actually doing
and
it.
And he gets really
this is like
I
podcast,
turn around
man.
And I say to you, if I say to you, if we're going to have a match, and I say to you, right, I'm going to punch you 5 times, and then I'm going to pick you up and throw
you
across
keep
the
count.
Room, then you know it's going to happen. But when I come up to you, I'm going to punch you as hard as I can, 5 times, yes. And you know it's going to happen. You've got to take those punches, and then I'm going to pick you up and throw you across the room. So that's the extent of how much it's choreographed.
You know what? You didn't do this with Vic last night at his house.
Oh, absolutely.
could you take Long John?
Probably not, because I'm not really an aggressive person in real life.
I could take him.
I'd let you. Don't worry.
I thought you said no, right?
So how fair is it? So like, for example, if you punch me 5 times and throw me once, mm-hmm. do I owe you 5 punches and a throw back, is it balanced in the amounts of beating ups one person gets?
It's a callback.
It's all about the story. You've got to tell a story. You've got to entertain the crowd. So okay, it's so got nothing to do
Robert,
with...
Oh, Rich, who knows nothing about punchlines.
I want to bitch you!
but keep the story aside.
I don't need punchlines.
My bank account smiles, right? When you punch me, my bank account will smile.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. That's good. You can punch me, man.
Yeah.
Punch
me.
Yeah, whatever. What was your wrestling name? Do you have a
DJ Marshall.
DJ Marshall.
DJ Marshall.
So you play music and fuck people.
Yeah,
like
I used to DJ as well. DJ
Marshall!
I actually started...
You're the only DJ that doesn't do requests.
I actually started doing the music for the shows over there, right. And then whenever I got into, I started off as a manager, when they were trying to figure out a name for me, I just said, well, use my DJ name, because I used to be called that whenever I DJed, because I always used to wear a cowboy hat.
There you go.
So,
and you had
that
a bit,
was as simple as that.
You told me the other night you had an interesting connection to your character being South African.
Oh yeah, when I was over there, my character that I played was a bad guy, and I was South African. Because obviously, when you're foreign, no matter where you wrestle, if you are foreign to the place you're wrestling,
the enemy.
You're the bad guy.
All right.
So because I'd lived here for so long, it was very simple. We decided it was me and my brother were a tag team, and we called ourselves Real Southern Attitude.
Ooh.
RSA. We came down with the South African flags. We
the
were
old one or the new one?
Flags. No, the new one. Okay, the good. New one.
And, I'm from Springs. I can tag team with my cousin.
We used to get into the ring, and I would talk in Afrikaans. Nobody knew what I was saying, so I could say whatever the hell I wanted. As long as I said it in an angry voice, people used to just...
And you didn't use the K-word. No one was videoing.
Absolutely not. I used to say in Afrikaans... literally... I once told my mom that I loved her, and the crowd was booing the hell out of me. Once I got up there, and I actually, I did the lyrics for the Robbie Vessels song, Leerup. and I was just screaming it into the mic, and crowds going boo because they didn't know what I was saying. Oh, yeah. And then to flip it round, 2 years ago, me and my brother came over here and we did a show for one of the local companies. And so then we played the British. So we came down with the British flags and that. Still playing the bad guy, but then I put on my real British accent and I was like, you know, we're over here and we're doing this. And all the crowd's busy screaming in Afrikaans, and I'm going, I have no idea what you're talking about. Speak English, which made them even more louder and screaming even more. And it's fantastic.
But right at the end of it, you should have said, baie dankie ook net baie. Ja, ek waardeer hierdie tyd in die kring hier so saam met hierdie ou. Om lekker gebliksem. Ek wil net sê, fok almal van julle. Jou ma se poes.
So no, that was Robert speaking, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, so you're here for the wedding, and you came to the and Vic said you can come on a show and talk about wrestling.
Yeah, that was yeah. That was.
Well,
it.
That's never happening again.
And thank you for having me.
Do you? I know Vic doesn't drink at all.
Yeah.
But I'm sensing maybe you from Ireland. You yeah. possibly do have a few.
I like to have a few. I haven't had much in the past couple of weeks staying at Vic's house. No, he's nothing.
I stayed in Vic's house for 3 weeks before you noticed I was there.
So that's for the frickin' booze, man.
I was sober. I didn't have anything to talk about. Nothing went wrong. Everything was fine. We want to say goodbye to all the people. Long John, say goodbye to the people.
Hey, goodbye. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That's
it.
Yo.
Do you want to come back? No, you are coming back. Ryan, you come back because you work
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I'll see you next Friday.
my name's Eric. Vic.
Yeah, it's cool. I'll see you soon. If I can do one brief shout-out.
Yes.
I'm doing a book launch on Jesus. Sunday at the Nexus in Randburg.
Your own book?
Yeah, it's a collection of short stories. It's the second collection I'm part
at
of.
Nexus, and what is that?
Nexus is a big geek and video gaming place out in Randburg on, Harley Street.
Because I'm doing a beheading at ISIS.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, that's nice.
And then thereafter the book launch, I'm going through the Park Acoustics, so it's good fun.
Excellent. That's the last show of the month. The Park Acoustics, no, second.
Yeah, it's last.
Okay, that's always
last
a good
Sunday
gig. That's a great
month,
gig.
Yeah.
I will see you there. Will you be there as well?
I'll probably be there.
Then we'll have a beer.
Cheers.
Seven. Thank you, Robert.
And your treat.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You've got pounds, bitch.
I'll be there at Parker's this weekend, and then tomorrow I'll be out in the towns doing things. And then thank you for having me, and see you next week. Are we?
Are we?
Are we?
See you all. Goodbye. We'll see you all just now.
Yeah.
Hi.
This is CliffCentral.com.